We're so blessed this morning. This is actually University Campus Ministries Days. Is that right? Kind of good enough? Okay, it's like Donut Day or anything else like that. But it is that it's the focus on University Campus Ministries. And John has been how long, John? What must be
15.
Over 15 years?
Almost 15.
Yeah, because I met you when I was in Parksville.
Yeah.
And you guys had just come up from the States and just kind of became part of our district, and just an amazing ministry to our campuses, and John's going to share a bit about that. I think there's a little video that's going to play just before John comes, and then John's going to come and speak. All right, bless you.
Thousands of students who come from campuses all over the world, one student at a time. Kieran was an atheist and had begun attending University Christian Ministries at UBC. Kieran's questions about God and Jesus began to get answered over time. His hunger for God was growing. One day, Kieran had lunch with a Christian friend and told him he was interested in following God. With great enthusiasm and encouragement, his friend gave Kieran his first Bible. A couple of nights later, Kieran was standing alone at a bus stop. He wondered what to do before the next bus would come in 20 or 30 minutes. The Holy Spirit spoke to Kieran in that moment, and he began praying to Jesus. Kieran said he prayed something like, "Jesus, I'm going to follow you for the rest of my life." Shortly after his salvation, Kieran was water baptized, then joined a UCM team for their short-term mission trip to Guatemala. Kieran has since graduated and is now raising missionary support to work with us on campus. Kieran's story thrills my heart, and we'd like to come and share with your church the amazing things that God is doing in students' lives.
Good morning. How many Mandarin speakers here? Speak Mandarin? I want to say something, and I hope I don't say anything wrong when I speak in this language, okay? So forgive me ahead of time. She 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 Yesu. She 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 Yesu. She 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 Yesu. Zai wa xin. Did you understand that? Yes. Good. Was it good? All right. This is what it means. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. That was the first Chinese phrase I learned as a young adult missionary in Taiwan. I've never forgotten it. And so whenever I'm in a church that's multicultural like this, I just have to say that. To everyone else, welcome again. And so good to be here. I remember, it might have been, I don't know, 10 or 11 years ago, the first time we were here. This church had been supporting us for so long. And we're very grateful and grateful for the relationship we have with the Carusos. They have brought a lot of inspiration to our lives personally. And so we're just grateful for just this great relationship that we have with you. And as Jim mentioned, our son Paul is a walking miracle. And it was probably 4 years ago that he had just come out of his coma at Richmond Pentecostal, or not here. What's that hospital over there in New West called? I forget. That one. Yeah, Royal Columbian. Start with an R. But we're so grateful for your prayers in every way, for our family, for the ministry. You know, and God is working powerfully. And he is the victor, as we have sung about this morning, that through our toughest times and through our deepest challenges, whatever we walk through, we know that when we're at the end of our rope and that when we feel like we have no strength, we can call on God in prayer and we can ask him to fill our hearts with his Holy Spirit. And he promises in Isaiah 40, that as we wait upon him, as we are with him, he promises to renew our strength and that we will soar with him like the eagle. Isn't that a great scripture? This morning, I'm just so excited to share with you a bit of an update on the campuses, and also just very honored and blessed I was asked to share a message this morning. And I just want to take us back to when I had darker hair, but still no hair. There's my wife and I sitting there. And this was the team that we joined to oversee. As Jim already mentioned, we came up to oversee this team to provide care, training, and expansion to ministries. And so this was a great existing team, and one of them is still with us. Two others had just transitioned out after 16 years. So we've had some long-term campus directors with us. But I show you this picture to give you a little snapshot of what how things have progressed. And so this next picture shows our campus team from last year. And you can see how God has multiplied those in our midst. The guy and in the plaid was trained on our, used to be an atheist, and got saved and was trained on our campus missionary team last year. And there's others on our staff that are in this picture who got saved, who found Jesus on campus at SFU or UBC, and followed the call of the Lord into full-time vocational campus ministry. And so it's great to be in one place for a long time because you get to see some of that fruit that God does over the years. And so we're thrilled about what God is doing. So 15 years ago when we joined the group that was already here, the staff team, we were on four or five campuses. And today in BC, we're on 7 campuses with hundreds of students that meet weekly. Across the country, we have networked with the PAOC across Canada. And this next picture will show you that we're close to 50 campuses now across Canada. Isn't that great? God is doing something amazing in our day at the university campuses. And it's just so wonderful to be a part of what he's doing. I'm thrilled to what is next, what God is up to. Thank you for your prayer, and thank you for your support. Probably a year ago or so that I was on my cruise. I take this cruise frequently, and maybe you recognize that ship. It's a great ship. And I was going over to one of the campuses on the island to share and speak with, I don't know, you weren't with me this time, but Nancy and I would go over and fill in for one of the ministries there that was in need of a campus director. And I brought my books with me, and I was ready to study and put in the earphones and just study for 2 hours. And right away, this lady sat down right next to me with all of her technology, because she wanted to plug in before I did. And she said, "Do you mind if I sit here and plug in?" I go, no problem. And so my little bubble that I had planned for had a little interruption. You know what those kinds of days are like? Little interruptions in your bubble. You had everything ready to go. And God just decided that he was going to do something different. So Paula, we'll call her Paula, she wanted some help, actually, finding the wireless connection and getting connected in there. So I helped her, and so from there, she mentioned that she had boarded the ferry with her daughter, and that, in fact, her ex-husband's girlfriend was the ticket taker, the one taking the boarding passes, and evidently didn't offer to take Paula's as she was coming onto the ferry, but she gave her daughter a hug. And so Paula threw her ticket at the ticket taker like that and stormed off and went onto the ferry. This is the situation. And I sensed the angst involved and the emotion that she felt during that time. Broken marriage, meeting her ex-husband's girlfriend on the ferry and feeling rejection. And for the next hour, Paula and I talked. And it was amazing the relationship connections that went back to her church churches that she'd been part of, and some of them are in our own denomination. And she knew a pastor from a PAO church that she had been part of, which meant so much to her. And in fact, she had moved out from the Langley area and wasn't connected anymore to church. And I assured her that Jesus had not gone away. He had always stayed plugged in with her. And that there was no accident that her and I had met that day. She shared some more about her story, and I offered to refer her to a couple churches in her neighborhood. And in that crowded cafeteria on the cruise ship, where everybody's eating, we prayed together. She was quite emotional, and yet it was just her and I in that space. This new bubble had formed, this bubble of grace, this bubble of God's love in the midst of a woman who was broken and going through a very difficult time. And so we prayed together, and it didn't matter who was looking. She gave me a big hug right in the middle of that cafeteria. We stood up. And God reminded me of his heart for the one in the crowd on that day. God's heart is for the one in our lives. In Luke 19, Zacchaeus was the one in the crowd that Jesus picked out. Little Zacchaeus, if you're familiar with that Bible story, he was small. He was small in stature. He was a tax collector, and he wanted to see Jesus. And so what did he do? He went up into a tree and was waving at Jesus. I could just imagine it. And Jesus catches his eye and says, "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house today." Wouldn't that be great? That you're a one in the crowd, and someone as important as Jesus, someone who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, singles you out, singles me out, and says, "I'm coming to your house today." Thrilling. In John chapter 8, Jesus paid attention to the woman caught in adultery. She was brought before him and the religious leaders for their judgment. And he forgave her, didn't he? And he told her, "Don't sin anymore." And then in John 12, Jesus paid attention to Mary, who poured perfume over Jesus and wept over his feet, drying them with her hair. Jesus pays attention to the ones. Even though he preached to the masses, Jesus paid attention to the ones. And Jesus told stories often. Whenever he preached, he told a story. I'm going to tell you several stories this morning. But Jesus told parables all the time. And in Luke 15, he tells this parable about the tax collectors and sinners who were coming near him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable, saying, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture to go after the one? To go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when he finds it, when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders." Jesus pays attention to the ones. This is a University of British Columbia, this next picture. And there's a story behind this picture. As we do barbecues, welcome back barbecues every year on campuses, just a month ago, hundreds of students out on campus, and they're waiting in line for burgers that we're serving. And you just never know what will happen for just with food. And this student story is up on the screen. I just want to read it for you if you can't see it. "When I first came to UBC, I went to a free barbecue. I went because of the free food, and I was in land and food systems faculty, and free food is always a bonus. I wasn't a Christian then, nor did I know anything about God, but someone offered to pray for me, and that impressed me. After that, I came to every Thursday campus worship night. I had no idea why I was drawn, but even after long, stressful days, I wanted to come and worship with this awesome community at UBC. The following year, I went to the winter retreat and became a Christian. At that time, I was healed of my chest pains I had had for years. It was a miracle, and my journey of faith all started with free food at the barbecue and someone taking the initiative to pray with me. He used you to make this community a safe and enjoyable place where I could enjoy and experience the glorified Lord in ways unimaginable to most others. This student later got baptized in water. Isn't that a great story? Simple. The gospel is simply extended through our lives. And I know that evangelism can seem like an overwhelming word and a scary word, and the common response is, I just don't know enough as a Christian to share my faith with others. But you know what? It's simpler than that. We'll never know enough. But we depend on the Holy Spirit in us, in the moment, as we connect and relate with people, whether it's over a hamburger or on BC Ferries or at work or at school. We know enough. We know enough, whether you've been a Christian for a long time or a short time, because the Lord speaks through us. So let's kind of demystify evangelism. Let's make it a little easier this morning. And that's my heart as I share, that we will not be overwhelmed with the crowds and the thousands and the 2 million that live in the Lower Mainland, you know, in the Vancouver area. But it's really about the ones that Jesus has connected with us on. How many of you, raise your hand, have at least one person in your life, if you're a Christian, one person in your life, family or friend, who is away from God or who simply just doesn't know Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Well, look at that. Just about everybody. This is the crowd, right? And you think of multitudes that we're connected with and how Jesus uses each one of us in our gifts, whether we're an introvert or an extrovert or an ambivert. Yes, that is a true word. You can be both. That through our gifts, whether we're behind the scenes servant person, or if we're out front and we're speaking, or you know, we have public ministry, you know, Jesus works through all of our gifts. It might be serving food, or it might be leading a Bible study. This is Kieran again, the guy that I was talking about earlier on the video. John chapter 4 is the intriguing story of a Samaritan woman having a life-encountering time with Jesus. Jesus crossed gender and race and all the moral taboos that went with talking with her. And the Holy Spirit flowed through him with the gift of knowledge. And this woman, if you're not familiar with the story, she was living with a guy. And Jesus actually knew that, but he didn't come at her with judgment when he let her know that. When he already knew the man that you are with now is not your husband. And so with this prophetic gift that Jesus had, there was something that ignited in this woman at the well. And the woman in the story says, I can see that you're a prophet. And Jesus says, well, it's neither here or there where we worship, but it's about worshiping God in spirit and truth. And so there was a spirit connection that this woman at the well had been instantly experiencing. And so Jesus has that encounter with her. He doesn't judge her. He just speaks into her life right where she's at. And she was so excited about that she went and got her whole village, it said. The one went and told what Jesus had done for her, what he had spoken to her about. And they said, hey, we don't want to just go meet him based on your story that you told us and your meeting with Jesus. We want to go hear him for ourselves. Isn't that awesome? That God worked through this sinner, this imperfect woman, instantly, because she had this encounter with Jesus, and she went running to her village, to her neighbors and friends, and brought them because they believed her. And it's so simple, right? So it's not so much what we know, but it's about experiencing God. It's about sharing that experience with others. So the whole community came. Little story here about Kaylee and Marissa. Now, Kaylee is in the dark hair, and Marissa is the blonde. Kaylee is now on our ministry staff at UBC. You know, she got saved at a Good Friday service at one of our PASC churches in New Westminster as a high school student. But she wasn't walking strongly with the Lord. And when she went to SFU, she got connected with our campus group there and began to be discipled, to learn about Jesus. And she began to reach out to her friends. After graduation, Kaylee had obviously become a leader, and we were all really excited what God is doing in her life. And Kaylee applied to be on our campus ministry staff, and so she still is today. This girl, Marissa, is someone that she helped disciple as, at SFU. Marissa was a student, didn't know Jesus at all. And Marissa came to the Lord at SFU and is now also on our campus ministry staff. You see, one, reaching the one has the ability to reach into the multitudes. Marissa has been able to share Jesus with so many of her friends and family. And Marissa is leading people to the Lord now too. And that's how God works. The fruit just keeps growing. The harvest just keeps on ripening as we are faithful to the Lord. Paying attention to the ones can bring result with influence among the many. Ryan was a student at BCIT on the left there. And he and my eldest daughter, Sarah, were co-workers at the bank. And our oldest daughter began sharing Jesus with Ryan. And Ryan began going to church and was so surprised that of all the young adults that were at this church and the young pastor staff, because he was expecting old dusty pews and an old dusty pastor. And I'm not referring to myself, by the way. The church had a strong ministry with skeptics, which totally fit with who Ryan is, or was, I should say, because he had so many questions about God and science. Well, he began to ask our daughter out for dates, and our family then began to pray for Ryan really hard. A little bit of missionary dating going on there, I think. But we prayed that Ryan's spiritual eyes would be open, because it's only by the Holy Spirit that our eyes of our heart can be open, that people can come to see who Jesus is and experience him. Apologetics is great. Having that knowledge is great, you know, and for skeptics, it's an important piece. And yet, really, encountering Jesus face-to-face is the key for that turnaround in our lives. But our family continued to pray for Ryan that his spiritual eyes would be open to the reality of Jesus, because he was searching and because he was dating my daughter. Well, he did come to Jesus. And I was surprised at how quickly God worked in his life. Ryan said that, you know, he had a bit of a drinking problem, and he gave it over to the Lord, and he was instantly done with it in 24 hours. Gone, just like that. This was proof to him that God was at work in his life. Something totally unexpected happened in his life, and he just simply stepped out in faith in a baby step and said, God, I want to follow you with all my heart. And Jesus began to do miraculous changes in his life. Well, Ryan's friends have seen the changes in their old drinking buddy, and they have been asking questions about Jesus too. Isn't that awesome? And even his family was at church. We were together in church together with this family not too long ago. And Ryan was baptized in August. And Ryan and our daughter are engaged now. And Ryan and Sarah are both at Youth with a Mission in Australia right now. And Ryan is growing like crazy in his faith. Jesus cares about the one. James 5:19 says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover them over a multitude of sins. There is great reward for God's people who reach out to the ones who have walked away from Jesus. There's great reward for those of us who follow Jesus, who reach out to the lost, who aren't afraid to share our testimony in love and share the testimony of Jesus and his love. It will cover over a multitude of sin. Jesus came to this earth for the ones. You meant so much to him that he would give his life and sacrifice for each one of us. His love reaches out to the despised Zacchaeuses, those outcasts Jesus loved at the well and among the accusers ready to throw the rocks. The Father's love is expressed as he runs to embrace the prodigal son or daughter who feels a shame and judgment and unworthiness in the pig pen of life. Jesus runs to us with his arms open wide. The Paulas on the ferries, the students on campuses, your family members, your friends, the Ryans in our life. He loves everyone, no matter our situation, our circumstance. Isn't that great news? Isn't that just fantastic news? Doesn't the way that God views us make us say, oh, wow, I don't feel that way about myself, but God, I thank you that I can have hope because of your great love, of your great compassion for me. The Apostle Paul talks about the hope that Christians get to offer people with this view from above. He has commissioned us to share his great news with people. 2 Corinthians 5:16 through 21 says, so now we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. And God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back. Come back. Come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Jesus Christ. What is the bottom line? I was sharing the gospel with a neighbor across the street a few years ago, and I mentioned that many people are not aware of the bottom line of the gospel. I just left it there. I didn't know if she's a Christian or not. And she leaned in, and we were sitting together at a coffee shop, and she said, what is the bottom line? I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you asked. What is the bottom line of the gospel? The same question was asked in Acts 2:37 as Peter was preaching. And his preaching was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And when the people heard it, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? In verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted the message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. The bottom line, what is the bottom line of the gospel? To repent, to believe, to be baptized, and you and I will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. A former Secretary General of the UN said, It is more noble to give yourself completely to one individual than to labor diligently for the salvation of the masses. Again, the crowds can be overwhelming, but Jesus labored diligently in the masses and the crowds. But it was the ones over and over and over, whether they were in the tree or sitting by a well, feeling outcast, and it was the ones that Jesus paid attention to. Question is for you and I, who are your ones? You raise your hand. Most of us have those ones in our life. As we're getting ready to close the service, we're going to join in worship with this great anthem of prayer, I believe. And if you're here this morning and you have been away from God, you have walked away from Him, maybe you went to church as a child, but you're hearing today about God's love and He's confirming it in your heart, wherever you're sitting, in the balcony or on the main floor here, we want to open these altars up this morning, this front up, like happens every Sunday. And you can come, and you can pray, and you can receive Jesus. And Pastor Stephen's going to come and give us some instruction for the rest of our time up here. Thank you so much.